really talking about the ABCs of faith. You said, well, why the ABCs of faith? Because sometimes we just have to remind ourselves. Anybody ever here played basketball? Or maybe you played hockey or another sport? They didn't put you out on the ring and say, all right, now guys, get out there, pass it around, pass the ball around, get that in the basket. No, they started training you with the basics, right? First you started, maybe if you're in hockey, you know, they got you skating sprints and getting you in shape and getting your footwork down and, you know, practice, you know, going around those cones and around with each other, getting the fundamentals down so that you're ready to win, right? We want to be ready to win. And so we've been talking about faith, and who remembers what A is? What is faith, right? What is faith? Do you remember? Faith, we said, is a firm persuasion. Amen. We looked it up in the Greek and in so forth, and we found out faith is a firm persuasion. It is based upon what we have heard from what? God's Word. Amen. A lot of people say, well, what do you mean a firm persuasion? Well, Abraham, we said in Romans 4, let's go over there for a minute. I'm going to review just for a few minutes. We've got some new people here tonight. But Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth of it. We ask you to bring it forth as you so desire, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 18 of Romans 4 says, who against hope? Talking about Abraham and Sarah here. Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He became fully persuaded, or maybe your Bible says convinced, or you know, he was fully convinced. He was well able to say, hey, God's going to do this. God will perform what he has said. Why? We said that it was important. Because faith is, most people say, well, faith, I thought faith is a substance. It is. It's the substance of what God's word produces within our heart. Amen. It is a substance. It's something that we can see and we can take hold of. Amen. We said in Ephesians 6, and we know if I get to the right book, it would help. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, verse 16 said, above all, he was talking about the armor of God here. And he said, what? Above all, taking what? The shield of faith. Now, if you're going to take something, we said, wouldn't you have to recognize what it is? Taking requires an action. I cannot take this Bible if I don't see it. I don't know, you know, what's doing there. If I can't see it, if I can't recognize it, somebody could tell me, go up there and get that Bible. But if I don't know what a Bible is, how am I going to go get it? I may take the wrong thing. But when we can recognize it, we saw that in the Word of God. Jesus recognized faith when he saw it. We said that the woman, remember the woman with the issue of blood? She touched him with what? With faith. And he said, daughter, thy faith, your faith, has made you whole. Now, if her faith made her whole, then what can your faith do? It can make you whole. It can be activated. But we realize what it is. It's that firm persuasion. We are convinced of what God has said. Now, secondly, we said B is, and most people know this, and usually it's not a problem. Sometimes we have a problem defining faith. We've looked at several instances along the way, so you might want to go back and look at that if you took any notes. Because B was that how does faith come? We know what it is, but how does it come? By hearing, right? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, how do we know that that faith had come? Remember, we were going to ask two questions. Did I hear? And did I accept as truth what I heard? Because, you know, you could say, well, sometimes we hear something and we say, I don't believe that. Have you ever done that? You've heard something? I don't believe that. Why don't you believe it? Because you don't believe the source, or you don't believe what was said is true. You don't have enough evidence to know that that is true. But the Word of God, we found out what? Faith and belief, that's the same thing. Faith is what you believe. It is your persuasions. It is your beliefs. It is what you have, and many times in the Word of God, constantly, it was used consistently, you know, belief, faith, the same verses. Hebrews 11:6, one of our main texts, we see it right there. But without what? Faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must what? Believe. He's saying the same thing, or have faith, we could say, that God is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it takes faith, we said, to please God. We please God with our faith. Over there in Ephesians, we read where we take the shield of faith, we protect ourselves with our faith. Corinthians, Paul said what? We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Faith must be important. Our faith is important. Our beliefs are important. And we talked a little bit about how they're formed. How are our beliefs formed? They come much the same way things happen in the world. I said about Joseph, 1 + 1 = 2. Now he could have said, well, that's 3. Until we convinced him finally by a preponderance of the evidence that one apple and one apple makes 2 apples. And I know that's very simple, but we were just trying to come to that place. But we don't start out with algebra in the second grade. Why? Because we haven't yet got the basics. And we had to gain an accumulation of knowledge. And through the accumulation of knowledge of the Word of God, we form our beliefs. We begin to see that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we submit ourselves to the truths of the Word of God and we meditate on them, we think about them, we read them, we mutter them to ourselves over and over, God will supply every need of mine according to His riches and glory. Not to make me rich, but because He already loves me. And we said there was 2 things to our beliefs. Remember? What God had said, right? That brings us faith. But also the reliability or the faithfulness of the God who said it. See, you need to know 2 things. Not just what God said. Yeah, oh, that's great, wonderful. But we looked at here. Sometimes we need a little bit more information. And we saw that over in Mark 1, remember? With the man, the leper that came to Jesus. Mark 1:40 and 41 here. It said, there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. He was uncertain. He knew that Jesus could heal him. You could heal me, Jesus. Just about everybody believes God can heal him. But will He heal him? He says, if you will, and Jesus answered the question for him. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand, touched him. He said unto him, I will, be thou clean. He, you know, with that information, He had confidence. He had faith. Faith came, what? By hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith can come very quickly, very easily. When you hear the Word of God and you say, yes, I accept that as truth, then what? Faith has come. Faith has come. I believe it. I see it, Lord. Now, we'll see that if somebody's not saved, right? If somebody comes in tonight and they're not born again, maybe they've never heard about Jesus. What would we do? We would tell them about Jesus. We would minister to them, let them know Jesus died for you. He was buried, rose again. We have no problem. Said, would you like to receive Jesus right now? They can pray with one message, with one simple message. They can believe. Faith came. They heard about Christ. Faith can come with one message. See, faith's not as hard as we make it out to be sometimes. I know I'm making it real simple, but it really is. When you were born again, did you try to say, well, I got to get a little more faith before I get saved. I got to, you know, I really think I need to believe some more. No, you just acted on what you heard. You heard it and you said, yes, I believe that. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he was raised. Yes, Lord, come into my life. You know, maybe it wasn't all that way. Maybe you didn't even remember what the preacher said because God just drew you. Amen. And we can act on that faith. We can let that faith came. But faith comes when we hear. So we want to remember our firm persuasions. We're firmly persuaded. Why? Because of what God has said. And we know that we have that faith that it came because we chose. We said, yes, God said it, and I have chosen to believe that as truth. I accept that as the truth. Faith comes. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, people don't have too much trouble with that at all. They realize how faith comes. Sometimes we have a little trouble recognizing what it is. It is the substance. It is that. But it is really our belief. It is our persuasion. It is what we believe. It is what we have. Hallelujah. Thank God it can come. And sometimes, how many know there are areas in our life we have to allow our faith to be strengthened. That's one reason we come to church, to hear the Word of God, to be strengthened with what? With worship, with fellowship, one with another, to hear what the Word of God said again. So, well, I've heard all this before. Well, that's wonderful. But how many know? See, teaching on faith is not really giving you faith, but it's helping us to understand that we can, that a lot of times we already have faith. You do believe what the Word of God said. You do have faith as far as we know. Amen. But there is something about faith. You can have all the faith in the world and still not go to heaven. Do you know that? Amen. You said, well, amen. Yeah, it's true. Because if you never confess him as Lord, are you saved? The Bible says we what? Believe in our heart, and we must confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Or if you look at the other verse, whosoever shall what? Call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we never call, if we never confess, we can believe all we want to. You know, I'm really saddened because I remember when I was a child, I wish I'd realized it. I wish I'd really known that because we had a guy that used to work for my dad. He'd say, well, you just have to believe, right? Well, yeah. But in my heart, I know there's more to it than just believing. You know, your life has to show forth that you do believe. You know, there's an action to it. And I didn't understand at that point, hey, well, you have to actually personally believe and receive that as truth. And yeah, maybe I do, but I have to say, hey, Jesus, be my Lord. I have to actually surrender myself to him. Amen. How many knows? If you never surrender, you can believe all day long. The Bible says that the devil believes and he shudders. He believes. He believes Jesus is coming back. He believes God's real. He knows the power of God. He's seen it. He got kicked out of heaven, remember? He knows God can take care of things. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can have all the faith in the world. You can have faith to be healed and die if you never release that faith. So that's our point tonight. ABCs of faith is faith must be released. It can't just be held on to. It's got to be released. We've got to act on it. We have to allow God. Of course, we don't want to ever operate outside of being led by Him. But when it's in the Word of God, how many know God and His Word are one? Amen. And there are things that He has given us, and we don't have to so much pray about it, but receive it. Hallelujah. We can have faith to be saved and die and not make heaven. We could have faith to be healed and not be healed. You said, well, how is that possible? The power of God. Remember when the power of God was present to heal them? There's only one guy that got healed, the guy they let down with the mat. Why didn't the others receive? It said His power was present not to heal one, to heal them. To heal them. The power of God can be present and us not receive if we don't connect our faith with what's happening. Hallelujah. James 2:14. Let's go there for a minute. James chapter 2. This is a good chapter. Read Romans and get some grace, right? Go over to James and he'll tell you to put some works to your faith. Hallelujah. Hebrews comes right after James. James comes right after Hebrews, excuse me. That's what I meant to say. Hebrews 2:14 says this. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can his faith save him? And we know the answer. No, he can't. Not possible. Now the word save here, if you looked it up, is sozo in the Greek. It means soundness, preservation, healing, deliverance, safety. Does that sound pretty good? When you got saved, you got a lot, didn't you? He said soundness, preservation, preserve you, protect you, in other words, healing, deliverance, and safety. I like that. I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty good package. Hallelujah, I'll take it. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God in a lot of other things. You know, salvation is not just being saved from hell, but we're also saved unto and saved from some things in this life and in the life to come. We've got benefits on both sides. It's not all up to God either. Some of it's up to us. Because we can, if that's not true, and if God didn't tell us how to get faith, then He couldn't tell us that you have to have faith to please Him. That wouldn't be fair, would it? Well, I don't know how to get it. By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. All right. Let's look here. Jump down to verse 16 for a minute. Well, we can keep reading. 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not, you don't give them anything, not those things which he is needful to the body, what does it profit? So if you have something, and someone comes and they're destitute, it didn't say the lazy, it says the destitute. It's a difference. Amen. How many know there's a difference? It's not talking about the lazy and those that are refusing to work. They just want to mooch. We call them mooches, right? You know, the guy that lives at home till he's 45, you know, he's still living on mama's couch. I knew a guy like that once. I says, well, haven't you ever thought about getting married, brother? You know, he says, yeah. It doesn't work out too good when you're living at home and you don't have a job. I said, amen, brother. That's right. You're getting the picture, you know, slowly, but hallelujah. You know, it doesn't work out too good for you usually. All right. Not too many takers on that one, right, ladies? You don't want somebody that's not working. He can't take care of you. Amen. Lives at home with mom, and we're not moving in with mom. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we can see here, he's just giving a picture here. If there's a destitute person, someone, they need something for his body. But we give him nothing. We never open our wallet, or we don't take him and get him some food, or we don't get the clothes that they needed, the winter coat. Then what good is it? Said it's not any good. It doesn't profit anyone, right? Even so, 17 says, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith alone does not necessarily profit a person. Faith without works, it says, is dead, being alone. In other words, there's going to have to be something accompany your faith for it to work for you. Boy, I was getting all excited. I found out what faith was, and I found out how it comes, and I'm going to get a whole bunch of it. I got a lot of faith. I'm telling you, hearing from people, I've got a lot of faith. That's wonderful. But is it working for you? Is your faith working? How do I get it from right here and right within me to where it's working in my life? How am I going to get it out of here? How's it going to do something for me? Here in this example, we would have to say, well, you'll have to either open your wallet or give them the coat off your back or whatever it takes to provide, amen, for the destitute. Said, now remember that. So, and every person is not the person, you know. If God didn't say, hey, I've laid this person at your feet, then you don't have to. We can be led of God. Because how many know? I'm one man, and I can't help the whole world. I can help one, but I can't help everybody, right? Amen. Unless God tells me to. And then he's doing it anyway. He's got to help us. Glory to God. All right, so faith dead does not mean non-existent. It means it's what? Unproductive. It's inactive. It's lifeless. It's idle. Unbeneficial. Didn't mean that it's not existent. Faith's still there. How many know you can have the love of God shed and brought in your heart? Do you believe that? Romans 5:8 says that the love of God is shed and brought in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, how come you don't always act in love? Well, maybe it's because you and I have something to do with it. Either we're not thinking about it, we allowed our emotion or what we saw or what we perceived to stop us or to block us. We said that about our faith last time, that we've got to get out of our mentality of our mind, just what we see, and get over in the arena of our spiritual man, the man on the inside. Faith is of the heart. Faith is of the heart. It's of the inner man. It's not of just the mind. We can have knowledge, but faith is not knowledge. Faith is more than knowledge. It's knowledge of what God said, us accepting what he said, but it's also acknowledging who he is. Amen. We said he is what? Merciful. He's not a man that he could lie. He is faithful who promised. He will do it. Hallelujah. He watches over his word to perform it. He is faithful. But here we see faith being alone. Verse 20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I think he's trying to get a point across here. This is the fourth time faith has been useless, lifeless. It's not that it's not existent, but it is not profiting anyone. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. Very interesting. You believe? Good. The devil believes too. A lot of people say, oh, I love God. Well, the bluebirds, they love the Lord too. You know, I love the Lord, so do the bluebirds, right? Praise the Lord. What is James saying here? Show me your faith by what you do. Or, we'll see here in a minute, some kind of an action. Faith to be released is going to take an action. And we'll get to what that main, the main action is here in a minute. Verse 26, what's it say? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith alone. Amen. Faith is as beneficial to them, someone that's not acting without any works, as a dead body. If we have a dead corpse up here, is that any benefit to us? It's just going to lay there, right? Can't do anything. Matter of fact, might be a little harder to move. Hallelujah. It's not very beneficial for us. It's going to rot and be just be laying there. We can have faith and it be dormant on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And eventually, unreleased faith stinks. Say, well, I got faith, I believe, I just can't get anything done. Why? Because I don't know how to release it. It's like a dead body to me. Anybody ever been there? You know you believe, but how do I get it working for me? What am I going to do? Hallelujah. Works are important. Just as important, apparently, here. What James is saying is just as important as the faith. Because the faith alone isn't going to get it done. We're going to have some works. Because we don't want our faith to be dead. We don't want it to stink. And we're going to have to get our works connected to our faith. Amen. We've got to get our works connected. So what kind of works? A lot of times people want to do all sorts of things. In other words, you know, we were seeing here the guy that's on whatever, maybe he's on the street or he's somewhere, he's destitute. Compassion alone does nothing if we don't help that person. I remember one time I was, and I hope I'm not getting off, and I'm just telling a little story here, because I was driving this guy, and he's from a homeless guy. And it was probably, you know, like close to zero, around zero, maybe a little above, not too bad, like it was today. It's still pretty cold. And we're driving down the highway, and here's a lady walking. You know, there's her car sitting back there, and she's walking. I remember he said, we should pick her up. She doesn't even have a coat on. I said, yeah, we probably should. So we made a little circle, came back around, pick her up. Sure enough, she ran out of gas. Well, let's go get you some gas. She didn't have a gas tank. I didn't have a gas can. But we'll get one. We got a small store up here. We'll buy a gas can. We'll get you some gas. We'll get her some gas. Sure enough, she gets it started. Now, that's great and wonderful, but how many know that gallon of gas isn't going to get you very far? She had one of them, you know, nice V8s, you know. Get you about 6 miles, you know, maybe 10 if you're lucky, you know. So we said, well, let's follow us to the gas station, you know. She follows us over there and we fill her up. She says, I can't believe this. I was just praying. I'm believing. I got to work tomorrow. I got kids at home. I got to take care of. Are you angels? You know, no, we're not angels. We're flesh and blood, just like you. Give us a little squeeze there, you know. Of course, my friend says, can you afford it? I said, no, I can't, but my father can. How many know our father can afford it, right? It was there back in, I don't know, a few years back, gas was getting pretty high. So, like it is now. But the point is that it would do no good if we don't have action with our compassion, amen? We can feel sorry for people. We can have compassion and say, well, you got compassion, but really compassion is love and action, isn't it? Amen. You're going to do something about it. True compassion. So beliefs alone are worthless. Verse 19. You believe and there's one God, you do well. Wonderful. The devils also believe and they tremble. So belief alone is not going to do it. Faith alone is not going to do it. Verse 26 said the body alone is worthless. It says just having, you know, it's like a dead body. If you're not in there, your corpse isn't going to do as much good at all, is it? If you, you know. Anyway, faith is not released, in other words, automatically. You can have faith, but it's not automatically released. If faith will help you, it's because you have decided to release it with something, and that's works. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's two kinds of people. Some people have no faith. In this passage here, maybe they don't have any faith. Or we could have faith, but if we don't release it, it's not any different than if we didn't have it, is it? Amen. It must be released. And we said that the love of God could lie dormant within us and never be released. You could be born again, have the love of God in you, but if you don't release that love, if you never, you know, use that love, what's it going to benefit you? Sometimes people get hurt, I understand. And we don't want to love. We don't want to open our heart again. But how many know God is the healer of the brokenhearted? Amen? Amen. So, we want to remember it must be. We can have power in our life even. Acts 1:8. What does it say? You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you that you can be a witness for the Lord. How many know you got power to be a witness? Amen. That's wonderful. He gave us that. We have that power within us, but if we don't do anything with it, if we never open our mouth, if we never say anything, how's that power going to be released? We have more failures because of inactive faith than anything else. Well, let's look at one example here in John 12. John chapter 12. If I don't make all my scriptures tonight, I'm just going to go as far as we go, and we'll pick it up next time, okay? Everybody with me on that? Is that all right? All right. I'm not going to rush it. Hallelujah. The Lord's trying to keep me nice and steady. I got a little excited today, so now my spirit man is jumping for joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's on the move, I'm telling you. Things are getting ready to change for the church. Hang in there. Don't you be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you see. Keep our faith with what God has said. He's working mightily. He's got to have a church that's ready to receive this harvest that's getting ready to come. Amen. I believe, number one, we're going to see the churches fill up around here. I really do. And see some people crying out to the Lord. Amen. And hallelujah. It won't be too much longer after that. It's going to reach the world. We got a lot to do and we've got to, you know, I'm not sure how many years we have left. You know, maybe we've got 10, maybe we got 20, maybe less. I said, well, are you trying to put a number on it? No, I don't know the day or the hour. Neither do you. The last 60 times or so that people have tried to predict it, it didn't happen. And it's probably not going to happen when you predict it. Bless God, he said, be ready. Occupy till I come. Stay busy. Be about the Father's business. Quit worrying about when he's coming back. Be thankful that he is and know that he is. Be convinced in your heart. That's the most important thing. He is coming back. For a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Maybe I got off a little bit, but it's good anyhow. John 12, 42 and 43. That was just a little side benefit. All right. Nevertheless, it says, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now here you see somebody here. They believed, but did it benefit them any? It did not. They would not confess him. They wouldn't surrender to him. They loved the praises of men. They were afraid. They didn't want to get put out of the synagogue. Amen. They let fear rule them and talk them out of the blessing of knowing the Master. Here they believed. It says they believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess him. See, we can believe. You know, you can believe in Jesus. But the Bible doesn't say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What? You shall be saved. It's going to take something else. Romans 10, 9 and 10, verse 10 says, and what? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Confess unto, it says, salvation. If I never say Jesus be my Lord, if I never make that commitment with my heart, that what is in my heart, I never put any words to it, then am I saved? Bible says, no, you're not saved. You're not making any kind of a declaration with your words. Words are what really release our faith. We see that over there, and we'll get there in a minute. Hallelujah. Anyway, these people were in the synagogue. They believed but refused to confess, and which would have moved them out of the synagogue. Many people are not moving forward because they're not releasing their faith. Faith must be released. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast to something, doesn't it? It says, hold fast to our profession or confession of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. That's right before James there. So, well, okay. Just back a few verses. Chapter 2, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that wavereth, without wavering, for he is faithful, that promised. Thank you, Lord. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What does that mean? What is he saying? Without wavering, for he is faithful, that promised. Now here, of course, in the Hebrews, they were constantly being challenged to go back under the law. That's one thing. They're to hold fast what they believed, what they have there. But the first thing that you normally surrender, negative times, many times people surrender what they say. They stop talking about the Lord. They get real quiet. And see, silence was Adam's sin, remember? He didn't say anything. It got him in all kinds of trouble, and here we are today. Amen. Hadn't sinned Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And God had that plan. He knew it was going to happen, but at the same time, that was Adam's sin. He was silent. It caused a lot of trouble. If he had spoken up, we don't know exactly what would have happened, but he'd say, hey, wait a minute. The Lord said not to do that. We'll surely die. But they were tricked. Eve was tricked by the serpent or by the devil. Amen. Now, if you really believe that's a literal literal serpent, well, okay. Does say serpent there, but it's probably the enemy's work. However he came, whatever form. Most of the time he doesn't come with a fork and a pitch, you know, a tail and a pitchfork, does he? Does he come to you in a red suit, you know? Because why? You'd say, oh, that's the devil. I'm not going to bother. He's not going to trick me this time. He comes to deceive. That's his greatest work. Hallelujah. Now remember, we were talking about the spies back down in Numbers 13 and 14, remember? We were talking a little bit about that Sunday. They went out, and all the spies went out to spy out the land. Hallelujah. To bring back word of how they should go up and take the land. What the cities looked like. Check it out. While the others, they're waiting. They're waiting to hear. They've gone out for 40 days. That's about 6 weeks. That's a good while to spy out the land. How many of you remember what happened? They came back. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of food. We brought some back with us. A couple of them carrying the grapes together. I mean, that had to be something. Amen. Can you imagine having to have two people to carry one, you know, thing of grapes? Whew. There must have been something there. Wow. Quite a land. They said, oh, it's plenty. But there's giants in the land. And we're like grasshoppers to them. They saw themselves in a different light. But Caleb tried to still them. Why? Because words carry power. They were speaking words of unbelief. God said, God called it evil. Evil words. Why? Because it was words that were full of doubt and unbelief. God had already said, I've given you the land. And Caleb and Joshua tried to still the people. Please be quiet. Please. Shh. We're well able. Let us go up at once and take the land. You can take the land. Faith has come. You can believe. You can gain faith. If it's not strong enough for you yet, you can continue to get a hold of the Word of God, the truths of God's Word in any subject. Meditate upon them, but release your faith with the words of what God has said. And that's really what he meant here in Hebrews 11:23. It says, saying, in other words, to confess or to profess, if we looked it up in the Greek, it says, say the same thing. Say the same thing that what God said. And we see that the spies, they were not all saying the same thing. Only Joshua and Caleb were saying what God had said. God had said we could take the land. He's already given it to us. And there's many things that God has already given. Sometimes we don't release our faith in that direction, or we release it for a little while, and we don't hold fast to what God has said. And or we get confused here and there, and we start, you know, not the words we're talking in prayer, not the words you spoke at church, but the words you're speaking at home and to your friends and at work. Are you speaking the same words that God said? With words, we begin to release our faith. That's the number one work that we have. Let's look back over here in James real quick. Hallelujah. And I know it's easy. Sometimes you say, well, you make it sound real easy, Pastor Doug. Well, sometimes it's not easy because we have thoughts of our mind and we look at something. And we talked about this last time. When Abraham and Sarah first saw and heard what God had said, they laughed. Why? Because they were looking at their natural body. But they gained strength in God. They began to say, oh, yes, our God is faithful. I remember when he said to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and he said he would bless me. And he blessed Abraham so much. And he blessed them again so much. He brought his nephew Lot with him. They were so blessed they had to divide the land. He said, you choose where you want to go, Lot. God's already going to bless me. You choose. He chose the best land, and God tells Abraham, as far as you can see, I'll give it to you. Wherever you put the sole of your foot, I'll give you that land. Hallelujah. He began to count God faithful. He began to see it gain strength and what God's faithfulness. See, it's one thing to know what God said. It's another to know that he is faithful. Who he is. What is his character. See, when we don't really know God, then even though we believe as far as we can, sometimes it's hard to trust somebody you don't know. Amen? How many ever have trouble trusting somebody you know? And sometimes you don't trust some of the people you do know because you know them. Now, I know I get a few chuckles, but, you know, we all got somebody, you know. Oh, that's just so-and-so. That's Mary Wallpaper. Don't worry about her. She's always saying that it ain't going to happen. Don't worry. Don't worry. She's not going to be here. It's not going to happen. They said it 100 times. And you already know their character. You know, you can't trust them. They're not reliable. Probably not going to show up. Whatever. Why? Because you know them. And when we know God, the Bible says He's faithful. He's not a man that He could lie. He's merciful. Hallelujah. Or how many are glad He's merciful? Amen. He can be trusted. He's our Father. Glory to God forever. Anyway, let's go here. We're in James chapter 3. And he starts talking about something here. And he starts talking about words. He said, my brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we all offend. We offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle his whole body. Hallelujah. Words are important. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn them about with their whole body. He's saying just like a horse's bit tells that horse where to go, he's talking about the words. If we can control our words, if we can bridle our tongue, we can be going the right direction. Because we speak what? The same thing as what God said. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they are be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder with whithersoever the governor listeth. Where the captain wants to go, he just gets a little rudder. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. But if we can control that tongue, how many know? With God, all things are possible, right? So, well, we can't. Well, He gave you a spirit of self-control. Do you know that? Amen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's in there. It's in there. And we can control and we can learn. And we can practice saying the right things. Now, Mark 11:23, Jesus said, what things, you know, whosoever shall what say unto the mountain, believe in his heart, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Now, we believe in our heart, but we have to allow those beliefs to have a voice. That's Mark 11:23. You might want to write that down. I'm going to just stop right here. I can tell we're getting a little tired. We're getting the Word of God in us. But let's look at that one time. I'm going to read that one scripture there, Mark 11:23. We're winding down. Don't shut down quite yet. Mark 11:23. It says, for verily I say to you that whosoever, are you a whosoever? Yes, we are. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, did it say he's going to have whatever he believes? Now, did I say believing is not important? But most people, they believe. I said faith comes by hearing. You believe the Bible, don't you? You've read the Bible. You say, hey, that's got to be true. It's in the Bible. I accept it as truth. Faith came. But the Bible didn't say we have whatever we believe. says we have whatsoever he saith. Faith must be released. And the number one way faith is released and the number one work is words. Many times people want to say, well, I'm going to stop taking my medicine. Well, you stop taking your medicine does not obligate God to heal you. It does not. But when your faith begins to speak and say the same thing that God said, surely he has borne my sicknesses, carried my pain, by his stripes I'm healed. Now faith is being released. It's going in a certain direction. It's turning your life and your ship. So when we want to find out where we are, listen to what you're saying. It identifies us. Amen. It identifies where we are and who we are. What are we really saying? Not just the words you're praying, the words you're saying. When we're at work, when we're at home, when we're talking to our friends, those words. Not just the words we're saying when we're in prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. I know I'm healed, you know, and we walk out and we start talking. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we let what we see take over. And we let our guard down. We don't guard our heart. For out of the heart, how many know the abundance of the heart? We want to speak what we believe. And when we speak it, that is a work. A lot of times people get tired of, well, I've been saying it and I don't see it yet. Don't quit. He said, hold fast to the confession of our faith, to saying the same thing God said, and we shall have what we say. Amen. Amen. We're going to start. We'll pick up again there next time. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know it was kind of long tonight, but Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth and that it lives and that it's alive. And Father, that we have faith in our beliefs, that we can release them, Father, into our life with words, Father. When we say the same things that you say, Father, we can point our life in that direction and we can begin to see change, Lord. And as we hold fast our confession, we know that the things that we say will come to pass because we're going to speak out of what we believe. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us. Put a watch on our tongue, Lord. Put a guard on the watch of our mouth, Lord. And help us to be consistent in listening, Lord. And allow our heart to line up with our mouth. And that we'll speak truth, Father. We'll speak what you have said. Because truth overcomes the facts, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.